We have been going through the book of Proverbs over the summer months. Yeah, I think it's been a really interesting time. Just Proverbs is quite an interesting book, and I would say it's quite hard to speak from because some of them are quite practical. It's about life, it's about finding a wife, it's about being a good child, being a good parent, and how do you really do sermons on those, right? But I think it's been quite productive. Just in case, I know that summer has been a busy month for all of us, and you might have missed out. If you would like to listen to some of them, most of them are up online. And this is also, by the way, information for us that we have all of our sermons uploaded on every Sunday, okay? So if you somehow missed it or for whatever reason we've got, you can use it on the website, on our church website. And also if you use podcast apps, you just search CC English and it's right there. I mean, you might be fed up of hearing my voices because most of the time it's my voice, but there you go, it's there. I think it's might be worth catching up on some of the things, especially over the past summer Sundays. We've been going through the book of Proverbs and so many practical things that we went through. So, yeah, I encourage you to do that if you'd like to. I wonder what are the common imaginations that you have of wisdom? Like, when you think of wisdom or wise person, what are some images that come to your mind? And I think Chao talked about this a few Sundays back. But generally speaking, in my head, I picture a bearded, you know, like gray hair, aged kind of person. And I think that comes from my background in India, where they've got these wise people who are roaming around, you know, like ascetics who go to the mountains, who meditate. And so that image of like wise person, wise and wisdom has to do with some kind of image. Like maybe for you, it may be somebody like David Hume. We've got the famous David Hume statue on Royal Mile. And it's like every time I walk past, he's like set in a very contemplative mood. And it's like, oh yeah, that's a wise guy. He's like always thinking. People are coming and rubbing his toes, but he's always thinking. He's like the image of the wisdom and wise person, right? Maybe somebody like Confucius or maybe Gandalf from Lord of the Rings. That's the image you might have of somebody who's wise, who's you can rely on for their wisdom. People like Marcus Aurelius have become quite famous in recent years, famous for stoicism and so on and so forth, wisdom and images of wisdom. I think in contemporary, in today's context, usually the scholarly people tend to have that connotation that they're the wise ones, right? They have read a lot, they have studied a lot, and they will know the answers. So if there's some problem in politics or something, usually those scholars are called up in the news to discuss what's going on, to show their wisdom, and they would know what to say because they're educated. But it's also a question of like, all these images that we have usually tends to be also a question of access. Like I think of walking past the meadows and I see the library and it's like, I've got a cart, I can just walk in, you know, and have access to this thousands and thousands of books and resources, this repository of wisdom. And it struck me that now that I'm finishing my PhD, I wouldn't have the cart any longer. I can't just tap and go in and have access to all this wisdom and all this stuff that's there, like freely accessible. So the question of access, right? Who has access to quote unquote wisdom or intellect or all this knowledge? And once I don't have that cart any longer, I'll be behind a paywall. I'll be paywalled. I cannot read whatever I want to read. So the idea that wisdom is kind of locked away somewhere and you have to have particular access, whether it's by education or by status or by privilege or whatever it is, that's the idea. The ascetic is nice. The wise man, wise sage walking around is nice, but that's not really accessible for normal people like us, for people who are caught in the busyness and mundane and routines of everyday life, right? Usually that's the image. When we look through the book of Proverbs, though, we notice that that's not the image that we have in the book of Proverbs of wisdom. Wisdom is not locked away behind paywalls, behind the library doors where only a few have access to. Wisdom is freely out in the streets, if you like. So the first part that I want to focus on, the images of wisdom that we see in the big book of Proverbs, is that wisdom is in the street. And we're looking at Proverbs chapter 8. I'll read a few of these verses from chapter 8, verse 1 to 11. Does not wisdom call out? Does not understanding raise her voice? At the highest point along the way, where the paths meet, she takes her stand. Beside the gate leading into the city, at the entrance, she cries aloud. To you, O people, I call out. I raise my voice to all humanity. You who are simple, gain prudence. You who are foolish, set your hearts on it. Listen, for I have trustworthy things to say. I open my lips to speak what is right. And then you go down to verse 10. Choose my instruction instead of silver, knowledge rather than choice gold. For wisdom is more precious than rubies, and nothing you desire can compare with her. We see here the picture of wisdom as being out in the streets, calling out freely to anybody who might listen. Almost like, and this is more popular in Asian streets, you've got people hawking and selling things on the street, making the crazy sounds to attract people. Almost in that image, wisdom is out in the streets, in the high places where she will be most visible, and she calls out to whoever would come and not necessarily purchase, but get this wisdom from her. Is that imagery of somebody who is out there freely giving out this precious thing, right? In the marketplace, in the streets. Again, when you think of the marketplace, when you think of the streets where people are thronging, what comes to mind? Generally, you think of course, David Hume himself is there, but the fringe, the time around the fringe is, of course, a very busy time in Edinburgh, but the streets is where everyone is out doing their thing, trying to make a living, the marketplace where people are selling ideas, goods, and we normally associate this place as being cheap or as being cutthroat, competitive. People are trying to sell as cheap as possible, and yet wisdom is portrayed as somebody who's out here in the streets. I think it's quite provocative. It's very different from how normally we would think of wisdom. But wisdom is out there in the streets, handing out this tracks, if you like, of wisdom. And again, I must emphasize, it's not about cheapness. It's not that the book of Proverbs is portraying wisdom as cheap, because it says specifically here in verse 10 and 11, my instruction is more precious than silver. It's more precious than choice gold, the best gold. Wisdom is more precious than rubies, and nothing we desire can compare with wisdom. So it's not that wisdom is cheap and to be just set alongside all other things. It is precious. It is special. And yet it's been freely given. It's been made readily available for those who are interested. Wisdom wants to join us, essentially, as we walk along in the street. Wisdom in the street. That's the first imagery that we see in the book of Proverbs. Then we go on and we keep reading down from verse 22. Yeah, verse 22 to verse 31. And it says this. The Lord brought me forth as the first of his works, before his deeds of old. I was formed long ages ago, at the very beginning when the world came to be. When there was no watery depths, I was given birth. When there was no springs overflowing with water, before the mountains were settled in place, before the hills I was given birth. Before he made the world or its fields or any of the dust of the earth, I was there when he set the heavens in place, when he marked out the horizon on the face of the deep, when he established the clouds above and fixed securely the fountains of the deep, when he gave the sea its boundary so that the waters would not overstep his command, and when he marked out the foundations of the earth. Then I was constantly at his side. I was filled with delight day after day, rejoicing always in his presence, rejoicing in his whole world, and delighting in the human race. We see here the imagery of wisdom in the world. At the time of creation, when God created the world, wisdom was the firstborn, as it says in verse 22. Wisdom originated from God, and wisdom was there when God was making this. the embodiment of wisdom in the moment of creation. Wisdom is special. In some Bible verses, in verse 30, I was constantly at his side. Some Bible verses, NRSV, ESV, translate this as wisdom was the master workman. Wisdom was the architect who was working alongside God in creation. Again, there's a wonderful picture of God participating with wisdom as a metaphor and creating all things. God working, wisdom working with God. So we have another imagery here of wisdom being in the world, working with God, when God created the world. Of course, the translation that we see here in NIV and some other translations, they choose to translate it as, I was constantly at his side, as some kind of an intern, if you like, or protege, or a mentoree who sticks close to the main guy working and learning the tricks and tips of the trade. So we see here wisdom as sticking close to God as God created these things and God created the world. Again, the picture of accompanying God and being with God. It struck me that this is quite interesting, the parallel with the whole book of Proverbs, which is about father teaching a son or teachers teaching a student. And here we have wisdom as the student, if you like, of God in creating the world and the beautiful creation that we see. So wisdom is alongside with God in creation, in the world, out there in the world. And I cannot emphasize the term there, out in the world. And again, I love the vibe that you get in verse 30 and 34. The atmosphere that is portrayed here. This is an atmosphere of joy, of delight, right? Some translations say, I was filled with delight day by day. Some scholars say that this is actually to be understood as laughing and, you know, like just a time of deep joy and laughter and delight. And again, you see the environment here, an environment of deep joy, of openness, of laughter, of joy, of love, of delight, and trusting in the goodness of God. And again, lovely environment that we see here. And I think this small picture is such a beautiful image that we hope our worlds, our homes, our workplaces can be also that a place of safety, a place of laughter and joy and delight, just as wisdom experienced, the metaphor of wisdom experienced with God. So wisdom out in the world, in the moment of creation, wisdom being with God. The third image that I want to just dwell on comes not from the book of Proverbs, but from the book of Exodus. And Ellie mentioned this in her sermon a few weeks back. We see wisdom mentioned in the book of Exodus, but you will not expect where this wisdom is. The wisdom that we see in the book of Exodus is found in the hands of carpenters, the hands of people doing embroidery and textiles, making woodwork, making stonework. So we see, again, this is just a depiction of the tabernacle, but in Exodus chapter 25, 28, 31 onward, we have God directing Moses to build a sanctuary for him, where he may, it says in Exodus 25, verse 8, have them make me a sanctuary so that I may dwell among them, a place where God can dwell. So we've got in chapter 35, verse 26, it says, all the women with hearts moved, all the women whose hearts moved them to use their skill, their wisdom or chokmah, spun the goat's hair. Goat's hair is definitely not something you associate with wisdom, right? And yet here we've got God blessing these women with chokmah, this wisdom, to work the goat's hair, to produce something for the tabernacle, a place for God's dwelling. Elsewhere in Exodus chapter 35, verse 35, it says, God has filled them with skill or chokmah or wisdom to do every kind of work done by an artisan or by a designer or by an embroiderer in blue, purple, and crimson yarn and in fine linen or by a weaver, by any sort of artisan or skilled designer. Again, embroidery. That's not necessarily the image that comes to your mind when you think of wisdom. But here we have in Exodus, God giving them wisdom to work these things for construction of the tabernacle, the dwelling place of God. God gives people, human beings, wisdom to create and develop these places, the dwelling place of God. So the temple, the tabernacle, these are the place that represents God's dwelling place, where God is present. And I think it's important, I think it's really interesting and very empowering to know that the tabernacle, as the dwelling place of God, is only a shadow of what is to come. When God created the imagery that I gave you, when God created the world, the garden, God created it as a place of his dwelling, not a small tabernacle. The world is to be the dwelling place of God. And we read in the Bible that in Psalms, for example, Psalm 78, the earth is God's dwelling place. The earth is God's sanctuary, not some temple, not only some temple, not only the church, but the earth is God's dwelling. Isaiah 66 as well, it says, the earth is his footstool, and the presence of God, the glory of God, fills this earth. In other words, it's not just people who work the tabernacle that are working to build God's dwelling place. We all who work in this world in various capacities, we can also participate in building God's temple, the presence of God. Whenever we serve with our heart, whenever we serve in the church and outside as well, that is where we are building God's dwelling place, building God's temple, this earth, this world. So just as wisdom was involved in building the world in creation in the beginning, just as wisdom is involved in building the tabernacle, we also have the opportunity to receive wisdom to build this world, to build God's dwelling place in this earth. That's why when Jesus taught his disciples to pray, he said, on earth as it is in heaven, let earth also be the dwelling place of God, just as heaven is the dwelling place of God. So I'm going to try and summarize what we've been saying. Wisdom wants to be in our life, not in a boxed compartment of sections of our life. Wisdom wants to be in our life, in our world. In creation, in the tabernacle, in the streets, in our workplaces, wherever it may be, wisdom wants to be our partner. Wisdom wants to be our companion, a companion of joy, a companion of fulfillment, of trust in our life. Wisdom delights, just as wisdom delights in the company and the presence of God, wisdom wants to delight in our company as well. Wisdom wants us to delight in the company of wisdom and of God, to be with us in our life. And going back to the first imagery, this is an offer that's generous, that's available, freely available. It's not cheap, but it is generously given freely to us. Wisdom originates from God, as we see in the metaphor of wisdom being firstborn. Wisdom originates from God, and it is God who gives us, and God gives us freely and generously. Generosity, available, and the free invitation. That's the imagery that we have here. And as I think about the embodiment of, I mean, as I think about the metaphor of wisdom as a woman, as we see here in this text, I can't help but think of Jesus as a person who embodies wisdom. And I hope you'll hang with me and understand what I'm trying to say. Jesus, we know Jesus himself said in John 1, the book of John says that Jesus was with God in creation, the beginning of creation, just like wisdom. In joy, in delight, he created the world with God the Father. The Bible tells us that Jesus is the creator. Jesus delights in the presence of God. And the Bible also tells us when Jesus was in this earth, he was always out in the streets, to the point that some of his critics said, this guy is always partying. is this guy for real? He's always partying. He's always going out, having drinks with his friends. He's always hanging out. And they call him a drunkard. They called him a party goer because he's always out in the streets among people, just like wisdom. He didn't look like the conventional wise prophet who would be rugged and you know, like all those imageries. He looked normal. And he's a carpenter's son. He's a worker, somebody who works with his hands. So we see, I'm just struck by how beautifully the life of Jesus embodies wisdom, as we see here in this book. And I think that's fitting as well, because it is Jesus who invites us to a life of wisdom by following him. He's the example of wisdom, and he's the one who enables wisdom to be freely given to us, because it's not cheap. It was costly, but it was his sacrifice that enabled us to access the cart that gives us wisdom. So I just want to conclude with this. The book of Proverbs paints quite an outrageous, radical image of wisdom. Wisdom as being out in the streets. Wisdom as being involved in the works of our hands, in the things that we do with our hands, in our life, daily life. Wisdom as being in the mundane and the ordinary. And the book of Proverbs paints wisdom as being generously given out to us. Wisdom as calling out to anyone who would hear out in the streets. And wisdom comes to us. Wisdom comes to us in the streets and meets us where we are, freely available for us. And I want us to think of that and perhaps think of our own context, our own houses, or the roads that you would normally take, or the roads that you normally drive in. And think of, I mean, just realize that wisdom is made available for us in the streets, in where we are, in our normal spaces. That we can reach out and we can get wisdom for ourselves. It's not locked away. It's been given out for us. The same wisdom that helped God, to use a metaphor that's given in chapter 8, the same wisdom that helped, that was with God in creation, the same wisdom that guided the building of God's dwelling place in the tabernacle, and the same wisdom that is out in the streets, we can reach out and we can take hold of that wisdom, so that we might allow wisdom to also work in our places, in our workplaces, in our homes, in our streets, in our cities. That our homes, our workplaces, and our streets can be themselves the dwelling place of God, where God can be present. That is the imagery of wisdom that we see in the book of Proverbs, freely given, freely available, and helping us to live in the presence of God, the dwelling place of God. Shall we pray and just take some time to think about our own lives? And as the book of James tells us, that whoever lacks wisdom, or whoever feels like they lack wisdom, we can cry out to God, pray to God, and he gives us generously without finding fault. That is the promise. Let's take some time to be quiet and ask God to bless us and give us wisdom in our lives.